Hey, Fight Fans, MMA odds maker Nick Kalikas here for BetOnFighting.com. If you're searching for the absolute best place to bet on all the latest fight odds and more, then look no further. BetOnFighting.com originates more lines than any other sportsbook, featuring a larger selection of betting options including props, totals, parlays, and live-in-progress fight wagering. It's easy to see why BetOnFighting.com is recognized as the industry leader in MMA action. Don't miss out on all the fun. Make sure you head on over to BetOnFighting and open up your account today. BetOnFighting.com, where the MMA line originates.
Hey, this is Bob Fulton. Yes, that's right, the pretty one. You're listening to MMA Weekly Radio.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children.
Hey, this is Kenny Florian. This is Uriah Faber. This is DJ Penn.
This is George St. Pierre.
This is The Voice, Michael Ciavello. You're listening to MMA Weekly Radio with Damon Martin.
Welcome to the big show, people. I am Damon Martin, and this is the best of MMA Weekly Radio 2011. Not the best of the best of our show, but our picks for the best of the best of 2011, including Fight of the Year, Fighter of the Year, Knockout of the Year, and Submission of the Year. And I'm going to be joined by a very, very special panel of folks from our weekend radio show, Travis McPherson, the host of MMA Weekly Radio Weekend Edition, one of the other lead writers over at MMAweekly.com, Eric Fontanez, and my very good friend and member of MMA Voltron, Mr. Dwayne Finley from Heavy.com. I'm going to get into that in 1 second. I just want to say a big thank you to all of our listeners and our fans that have tuned in for a great year of MMA Weekly Radio. We had a big switch over this year to our new format, our new sound quality, which, trust me, I was a big fan of. Our new time slot had a lot of changes, but we appreciate everyone sticking by us, both on on the website, on iTunes, and for all the great fans out there, the people that have followed us, like Steve Deskin, appreciate him. Guys like Blake Collett, who have been around for us for a long time. So the fans that support us really do appreciate you guys. Can't say thank you enough for your continued support and appreciation of MMA Weekly Radio. So let's get into the best of the best 2011. We'll be back on Monday following Christmas weekend to talk about UFC 141. We got a great week of shows with guys like Danny Castillo, Anthony Njokuani, John Fitch, Johnny Hendricks, all kinds of guys coming on the show, so make sure you're here for that. But right now, here is the best of the best 2011 MMA Weekly Radio Edition. It is the end of the year 2011, and like another year coming to a close, we are closing in big, big fashion. I am Damon Martin. We are here at MMA Weekly Radio with a very special show, closing out 2011 with, of course, our weekend radio show host, very good friend of mine, and also has co-hosted this show a number of times, Mr. Travis McPherson. Travis, welcome back to the show.
What is going on, all the peeps out there?
You thought you had the weeks off, didn't you? You were going to take 2 weeks off, and I said, no, dude, you can't get 2 weeks off. Come on now.
Well, you know, after a couple of fights that went by, I was starting to regret that. And knowing that, you know, there's still another big card left and there's a bunch of stuff to talk about from the past year, I was starting to regret it. I can't lie.
Yeah. So, see, I'm putting you back to work, man.
Let's make it happen.
Exactly. Also on the show today is a very good friend of mine from part of MMA Voltron, as we call ourselves, Mr. Dwayne Finley from Heavy.com. Dwayne, welcome back to the show.
From parts unknown. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Damon. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So what we're going to be doing today, and also just to give everyone a heads up, our other writer from MMAweekly.com, Eric Fontanez, will be joining us. He's currently driving back from Fabricio Verdum's gym. He's stuck in traffic. He's in L.A., so if you live in L.A., you can sympathize for Eric. But we're going to talk to he's going to join us here for our best of debate in a little bit. But we're going to be talking about fight of the year, fighter of the year, knockout of the year, submission of the year. And what I want to talk about right now with you guys before we get Eric on the show, hopefully Eric gets on the show, I should say. Before we get to that, I want to talk about, you know, the best of the best of 2011 as far as stories and what happened this year. I mean, so much, if you think back, so much has happened this year with the Fox deal, Strikeforce getting bought out. I mean, when you think about it, it's already been a pretty crazy year. Travis, it's been nuts.
You know, it's been so crazy that it's getting hard to remember exactly what happened this year, because a lot of it kind of, At the end of the year, we hear about what's getting a lot of press lately is the flyweight division next year. But that's next year. And then you think about the Fox deal. But even though we've only had a taste of the Fox deal, that really happens next year. But I really think probably the biggest thing this year is the Fox deal, because it takes the sport to another level. It takes it to the level I've talked about many times on the show, which is the point where you're going to get a lot of free fights. Because when you think about it, any major sport, when you really hit the big time, is free. It's not, you don't pay-per-view for the Super Bowl, you don't pay-per-view for the World Series, and now we're finally at that point where a lot of great big fights are going to be on free television.
Yeah, absolutely. Dwayne, where do you fall on this?
I got to agree there with the Fox deal. And if you look at this year in general, I mean, the thing that I just I kept noticing or just kind of kept watermarking is that how much everything on our side of the ball is changing. The landscape of MMA is changing completely, and we're entering this this area, which is, you know, like Travis said, for next year, where we're going from a very insulated situation, which we've had in MMA for the last 5-6 years, and now it's about to bust open to the mainstream media, and it's been in the mainstream market in general. So it's been kind of strange and somewhat entertaining to watch how this process is starting to unfold. 2012 is going to be crazy, but I would say definitely the UFC on Fox deal definitely was the big story this year in our sport. And even though we only got the one fight, we're going to see next year. I mean, even just in the first quarter with Fuel FX, the new Ultimate Fighter, it just kind of set the table, and that was different because we've never seen something like that in our sport. So UFC spent a lot of time, definitely the last quarter, and some of the third quarter as well, setting this table for what we're going to see in the future, and it's only going to get crazier.
Isn't it crazy though that in a year where Zuffa essentially bought out their biggest competitor? Now we know Bellator's still out there, so I don't want to discount them. But isn't it strange in a year where Zuffa buys out their biggest competitor, and that's not even the biggest story? I mean, that tells you right there how big and crazy this year was.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you would think that. I mean, when that Strikeforce purchase happened, I mean, that was the OG's moment there, and then to think they could get it more bonkers is exactly what it is. But it did, and it's only gonna, I mean, it eclipsed it completely, because it's gonna shape the entire landscape of it for the future.
Yeah, I think that this is one of those, moments we're always going to remember. But one thing I got to bring up about that, again, I want to look at all the positives of the Fox deal, but you brought up a great point, Dwayne. We got a lot of mainstream people with the eyeballs in the sport, and there's two things. There's a positive and a negative side to that. And I'll say the positive side is I think a lot of people in the mainstream audience are going to be looking to guys like us who have been covering the sport, who know the sport. They're going to be looking, because MMA is one of those sports where you just can't hop in. People like to look at it and think it's two guys punching each other in the face. But we all know there's so much more. There's so many intricacies of MMA when you talk about the submission game, the wrestling game, the clinch game. I mean, all this other stuff. So I think that's one side. The negative side, however, is until they learn that, or until they reach out to the guys like us that have been around the sport for a long time, we're going to get a lot of Tony Kornheisers and Mike Wilbon saying it's glorified street fighting. It's a bar brawl. It's barbarianism. I think that's what we have to be careful of in the beginning with these mainstream guys covering our sport.
Yeah, and one of the things that came up was very very recent with Dana talking about that he was happy that the Henderson versus Shogun fight wasn't shown. And I think that fight really – here's the thing. You're either going to be okay with it or you're not going to be okay with it. And that's really what the sport is. Now he says, okay, now they know what they're getting themselves into or whatever, and now it's okay. But, that is going to go down as one of the greatest fights in MMA history, and I'm probably going to pick it for the fight of the year. But if that's what the sport is, why wouldn't you? Would you want to have that over what we did get, which was a great quick knockout? But is that really what we really want, or do we want to show the worst so that anyone who's going to be on board is going to be on board and not surprised later? This whole thing about having the mainstream view, with we've had a lot of mainstream press really covering the sport over the last couple of months and even the last year or so. So it's there's going to be more, but I kind of wonder, how much are we trying to hide? Is Dana really going to blow the doors off this thing now, or is he still going to kind of say, well, they're not ready for this fight yet? I mean, when he said that, I was really surprised.
I think, and here's the thing, is that I personally disagree with Dana in that sense because, listen, remember when the sport blew up for the first time ever, really, was when that Spike fight happened with Forrest and Stephen Bonner, and everybody was calling their friends, and they're saying, man, you got to tune in and watch this, and it was, and that was a slugfest, and it wasn't the most technical fight in the world. It was two guys who both had good chins who were just literally slugging it out. Now, I would have preferred seeing the Shogun-Henderson fight because we did see a little bit of everything in that fight, but I think that you can't shy away from what makes this sport great, and what makes this sport great are the great fights. And you know, a quick, like, 30-second, 90-second knockout, whatever it was, I mean, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But I would have much rather seen that Henderson-Shogun fight because, again, you get that long-term appeal. You get people after that first or second round saying, you have got to watch this crazy you-know-what. You know, you've got to see this insanity that I'm watching on TV. And listen, if they're going to bash – if some of the mainstream people are going to bash the sport anyways, I mean, they're gonna look back at that Kimbo fight, that debacle on CBS, and say, look, they got Kimbo on there, street fighting guy, whatever. I'd much rather than be saying, look, here's an Olympic, you know, here's an Olympian, Dan Henderson, taking on one of the, you know, great Brazilian fighters, and they just had this epic war. I mean, that's what I, Dwayne, am I wrong? What, how do you weigh in on this?
No, I think you guys are both absolutely right, and I just kind of get the feeling, like, if you go back to the Griffin Bonner fight, and when the UFC broke through there, it's like, okay, the analogy be like, okay, you have this partner and this girlfriend or wife or whatever, and you're like, you know what, this is who we are, this is what we're doing, and now I'm gonna show you to the world, and they're gonna accept you, or they're gonna say, you know, it's terrible. And then you go on to some success, and now you're starting to get invited to these parties, and you're starting to pick her apart, like, well, I don't know if she looks good enough to go to this party, but she's definitely still good enough. You know, I mean, that's the kind of, it's a strange analogy, but that's kind of how I got the feeling of, is you threw all the cards on the table back in 05, 06, whenever that Ultimate Fighter fight was, and then all of a sudden it was like, well, we're going to see what's good enough and not good enough. So like Travis said, it kind of set me back a little bit when I heard it, because if it was good, they're just going to have to accept it, or they're going to reject it. And I know there's a lot of chips. I mean, I know there's a lot riding on this, but it's a 7-year deal. It's not going anywhere. So I figure I'm with Travis on that 100%. You throw it out there. You let them take it or leave it, and then you know, go from there. If you're confident in you know, in your athletes and your fighters and what you're going to produce in the future, then you know it's only going to get better. But you know, it's get the best of the best do their thing.
Here, you know, go ahead, Travis.
You know, Damon, real quick, it's almost like having dated a girl for years, but you don't want her to meet any of your friends. You know, that's not going to go over very well. And I just kind of feel like it was. Not that he was embarrassed of it. I mean, it was a great fight and everything, but I'm like, what are you protecting people from? Now, obviously, the guy's smarter than me. He's running an incredibly successful company, so, you know, it is what it is. But I was a little bit disappointed in that.
Are you guys both disappointed in your girlfriends or what here? Jeez, these analogies, he's dating now. Now, here's how I feel about it, and this is what I say. MMA is still a very young sport, and I agree with what you just said, Travis. It's a 7-year deal. This is something that's going to be going on for a while, so we can't get antsy in day one or day two or day three. This is going to be going on for a while. Here's what I would say is that, look at pro football. Let me throw pro football out, or even pro hockey for that matter. Some of the nastiest injuries happen in those sports. I mean, people still to this day talk about Joe Theismann getting his leg literally snapped in half by Lawrence Taylor, and that replay still gets shown to this day on YouTube and other places, and it's pretty gruesome, and people don't like to talk about it. People don't like to talk about, you know, those hits. I mean, it's just like ESPN when they show, like, James Harrison laying out Colt McCoy a couple weeks ago. They kept talking about it, but how many freaking times did they have to show that replay? Did they show it for shock value? Did they show it because people want to see that nasty hit? And the fact is, I'm not saying I'm encouraging violence or whatever. I'm just saying that's, I mean, our society, it cracks me up that mainstream people will somehow bash MMA, but then they'll show that Colt McCoy hit or that hit James Harrison had last season on that kid from the Browns where he just blindsided him and just literally laid him out. They replay that thing freaking 50 times in a day, and they keep talking about it, keep replaying replaying, keep replaying it, and then they accuse our sport of being violent. It's like, dude, get it out of the way now. Let's just kill the pink elephant in the room. Yes, there's violence in our sport. Yes, Nogueira got his arm broken. Guess what? He's going to have surgery. He's going to be back in a few months. It's no worse than what we just saw there in the NFL where some guy got laid out and his ankles hurt or whatever else. That's what I'm trying to get past, because it's like this society likes crazy stuff, and we don't want to talk about it, and it's kind of hush-hush, and people are saying, oh, man, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but you're also sitting there putting your DVR on rewind watching Colt McCoy get laid out in the middle of a football field. Don't tell me that you don't want to see it.
Yeah, it is what it is, and that's why we just have to give them what it is. Just put it right there for them and say, you know, this is your decision to make. Either you like it or you don't. Odds are people are going to love it. I mean, the sport's boom. I mean, it's not booming as it was, you know, when we talk about the boom, but it's still going. It's still growing, and people are jumping on every day and finding out about it, which is awesome. But the sport is it's crazy. Crazy things happen, but I think people are going to embrace that. I think you just have to give it to them, let them make that decision. And if they don't jump on the ship now, they're certainly going to jump on the ship somewhere down the line, because that's what people talk about. If, you know, people talked about the Mir Nogueira submission. You know, that was insane to watch. And then if people had that on a DVR or something they could watch, you know, on free TV, they're going to watch it because the appeal's there. People are going to come back to it. So I say, you know, give them what it is and let them see the monster, and then let them, you know, make their amends with it and get comfortable on their own time. Don't worry about, kids gloving it.
Absolutely agree. All right, pause for, all right, let's get into our next conversation, which is our conversations for fight of the year, submission of the year, knockout of the year, and fighter of the year. It is awards time. And just for the fighters that know that when we argue and debate and scream and yell at each other, your big award is the fact that you get to hear us yell and scream and yell at each other, because we have nothing to give you. I will say this, that our first award goes to Eric Fontanez, writer from MMAweekly.com, for the lateness award of the day.
Thank you. I'd like to thank being Puerto Rican and Mexican for this award, because run 2 hours behind on everything.
But nice. You know what you have to say, though, what's really awesome about this is you were hanging out with Brazilians, and we know how Brazilian time works.
That's actually why I was late. I was supposed to be there at 3 o'clock, and I got there at about 2:45. Fabricio shows up at about 3:45. And then I think we get the interview started at around 4:30.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how it went down.
See? That's Brazilian time, babe. That's like the UFC 140 workouts. We're standing around waiting for the Nogueiras for about 45 minutes. It was awesome. So that's how it works. Nice. And as Dwayne took off and had to go grab a shower because he'd been up for 24 hours, right, Dwayne?
That's how I roll, man. You know me. I came back. I went into Canada with a mustache. I came back to Opens without a mustache. I gotta keep it. I gotta stay on the move.
Yeah.
You should have kept the mustache, man. I mean, that would have looked, you know, very David Hasselhoff of you.
Yeah, I got the mullet hawk and the mustache, so it was enough to get into Canada and be celebrated by the nationals there for a little bit. But it had been enough, and I think I was getting a weird look from Mir's entourage, so they thought I was a little shifty, so I kept it moving.
what you may not know about this yet, Dwayne, and I'll share this with you right now. I've got a couple responses. If you watch the UFC 140 open workout video that you can currently view on Xbox 360 on Xbox Live, apparently we're both in the video, so good for us, because I've had people say, hey, I spotted you at the UFC 140 open workouts on my Xbox. I'm like, oh, man. So, wah, wah, wah. So,
wow, looking serious and looking spicy. That's all I'm saying. I like to keep it moving.
Yeah, exactly.
You mean serious and pasty?
Coming from you, sir. I'll climb all 6'8" of you. I'll tell you right now.
I'm 6'8"? You're giving me some inches. Thanks, brother.
Well,
it's a perspective thing. I was drinking last time I saw you, so who knows?
Well, first, before we get into the awards of the year, I must throw this out there. I threw it out on Twitter, got tons of fan responses, and I appreciate all the fans that hit us up on Twitter, both through my account and the MMA Weekly account. But I will say the first award I want to hand out is Kevin Ioli awarded me the Journalist of the Year award. So, Kevin, I want to say thank you. I appreciate that. So I just want to say thank you to all my adoring fans that I have been awarded Journalist of the Year from Kevin Ioli. So thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that. That's the most important award. We're out of here, guys. Thanks for being around for 2000. 2011.
Whoa. What panel does Ioli belong to? Because I want to know what credentials they have to get up.
Stop talking, Dwayne. We're just going to leave it at that, okay? Stop talking about it, okay? Journalist of the Year, okay, we're going to move on. Just so you know that, you know, I got that award. I just want to throw that out there, okay? Anyways. I didn't say there's any voting or any talking about that particular award, all right?
My apologies.
Other things are open for debate. That one is not.
You can have the stinking award, Damon. Yeah. It's not like the rest of us don't work hard and try to get ours.
This is a ruling society, and I rule.
Oh.
See? Nope. Oh, look at the silence. The silence from the entire panel on that one. I love it.
It's a feudal system.
I hope that when you edit the show, you add in the wah, 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 and that's...
Well, we had a great year of fights, great year. You know, the one thing I got to throw out there before we get into these awards or our unofficial awards is that, man, it's tough sometimes to remember the stuff that happened at the beginning of the year. I'm sitting here thinking of all the knockouts and the submissions and the great fights, and I'm like, you know, with the fights, automatically I'm thinking of certain ones, but a lot of them happened recently, and I had to go back and start remembering what happened. Like, Anderson Silva, Vitor Belfort, that knockout happened earlier this year. It just seems like it was so long ago.
True.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
The mystique of Steven Seagal started in 2011.
Jeez. Wow. I need to get on that
Steven Seagal diet plan and do whatever they're doing, because I want to kick somebody in the face and knock him out.
Do you see what I'm talking about? Did I tell you I met Steven Seagal, or I stood by him at UFC 129?
There's a difference between meeting somebody and then standing.
Well, I met him in very passing, but he was like signing autographs and stuff. So I just kind of like did the, you know, hey, how's it going kind of thing. So I didn't sit there and like talk to him. So, but he's a big dude. I was shocked. He's like 6'5". He's bigger than I'm 6'3". He was bigger than I am.
Wow. What?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a big dude, man.
Damn.
Yeah, dude, he's a big boy. Anyways, all right. So let's start off since we're talking about Seagal and the mastery that is Seagal. Let's talk about knockout of the year, because I had a lot of people came at me on Twitter with a lot of different candidates. Anderson's knockout of Vitor Belfort, Lyoto Machida's knockout of Randy Couture. I heard Chet Congo's knockout over Pat Barry. A couple that didn't get mentioned a lot, but I want to throw out there is John McDessie's spinning backfist knockout of Kyle Watson from UFC 129. That kid in M1 Global. And I say that kid because I completely forget his name, who had the spinning back fist and M1 Global that got shown. So there's a lot of great knockouts this year. And I'll start with Travis. Where do you fall in the knockout of the year category?
Well, I asked a bunch of my followers and listeners and stuff to see what they thought. And it actually went all over the place. It wasn't as definitive as I thought. Of course, Silva Belfort was there. Hendo Fedor is a big one, mainly because even though Fedor at the particular point in time was already on, you know, kind of a losing streak, to actually clearly knock him out was pretty amazing. And one that a lot of people probably don't even know about is Watson versus Ninja, mainly because it happened overseas. But I don't know if I necessarily agree with that one, but the reason that one came up is because it's from one of my European listeners. So, of course, they're going to throw in one of their faves. I don't know. There's a couple that definitely spring to mind. Obviously, Korean Zombie's recent just ridiculous knockout. I don't know. As cool as it was to see, an 8-9 second knockout, those type of fights don't impress me as much because you don't really prove anything there. The only thing you prove, I guess, anything is that you can catch somebody. I guess for me, the knockout of the year, just because of the importance of what it was, I think really was the Dan Henderson and Fedor knockout. I like the Silva Belfort because everyone's jaw hit the floor. But I think if you look back in the history of everything, definitely, you know, Fedor getting knocked out by a 185 pounder essentially was kind of a big deal. So that, I guess that's the one I'll go for. My heart wants to say Silva Belfort, but I understand that in the overall scheme of MMA, the Fedor loss knockout to Hendo was pretty damn important.
All right. Eric, what about you?
Well, Travis, first of all, let me say that was a very well thought out analytical delivery.
And hey, stop lying.
I applaud you for that. There you go. Stop lying. I love you, man. But I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you there. Although Hendo and Fedor was a pretty impressive knockout. I'm going to go with Pat Curran and Marlon Sandro in Bellator because Pat was getting picked apart for what seemed like a round and a half or something like that. And all of a sudden he throws this head kick as Sandro ducks and boom, the guy's out. He falls back and he's unconscious. And Curran still goes in and knocks him a couple more times on the floor, and the guy was just clearly out. And I think the fact that he did it, you know, after getting picked apart for almost two rounds, and the fact that the guy was, you know, his consciousness was just gone, I think that's a big I think that's your winner for knockout of the year. I'm going to go outside the UFC for this one. I think this specific one needs some love. And if you haven't seen this knockout, go on YouTube right now. I'm sure Bellator has it up. They'll go ahead and play it for you, man. That stuff was nuts.
All I'm waiting for now, Eric throwing out the Bellator fight. Come on, if you're really trying to curry favor with the hardcore fans, why don't you pull out something from like Deep or Shooto? Come on, man. Jeez, I mean, why don't you pull out something obscure? Jeez, all right.
Really? Come on now,
Dwayne Finley. Where do you fall in knockout of the year? Set this kid straight.
I gotta go against both these guys to go with the Barry Congo. I know it was a popular pick, but it was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I mean, I know it doesn't really have an effect on the broader landscape the way Hendo and Fedor would, but yeah, the Barry Congo knockout was just bonkers. I mean, we all know that we're supposed to keep everything in check on press row and not have any reactions or emotions to anything, but
except for Dwayne Finley.
Yeah, it's the Finley clause. You know, I'm over here doing cartwheels like a cheerleader, high-fiving people, posing for photos with fighters. That's how I do it. But yeah, you know, when Pat knocked, you know, had Congo on roller skates, and it looked like that fight was over, and you know, ref, you moved a step in, didn't finish it, and he folded Congo's leg back, a la Crow Cop when he got Gonzaga like that. But Congo took one last, you know, kind of. One last fling, and you know, Barry's looking at the lights. It was just bonkers. So that's my pick for knockout of the year for sure.
Yeah, I had a lot of debate because luckily for me, I was actually at that fight, and I was also at the fight with Fedor Henderson. And the Fedor Henderson thing happened so fast. I remember thinking, did Fedor just win or did Henderson win? Because Fedor hit Henderson, he goes down, and then he follows him down, and Henderson follows up and hits him. I mean, it was one of the craziest sequences. But obviously, you know, you can't discount the crazy situation that happened with Congo and Barry either. Also, I want to throw out an honorable mention to Vinny Magalhaes, who had a pretty nasty head kick knockout this year in his fight in M1 Global. If we're gonna throw out some really obscure ones, but I gotta go with Dwayne's pick, man. I'm gonna have to go with Congo Barry because and I'm showing my bias in this one because I was there live. But that was one of the most ridiculous sequences I've ever seen. For Congo, who was out. I mean, dude was done. If that was it, I mean, that fight was over. And then he comes back and hits Barry with a shot, literally knocking him completely out. I was floored. I was like, this did not just happen.
So, you know what? I think you're picking that because Barry Congo sounds like some sort of Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and you're hungry right now.
It does sound kind of good, though. It does kind of sound good.
Congo Barry?
The Barry Congo, it'll knock you out.
No, whenever
Congo Barry. Congo Barry.
Whenever I think of Congo, all I can think about is that 90s movie with the killer apes. I'm sorry. That's all I can think about. Remember that one? Remember Congo? Remember some Congo, dude? Come on now.
Hey, I will say though on the Henderson Fedor fight is the reason I will no longer be live tweeting from events ever again because I'm sitting 20 feet away from that cage and when Fedor knocked Henderson down, I looked down to hit my Twitter and everybody went nuts and I was like Fedor won. I look up and Hendo's doing the old flex on the top of the cage. So it's pretty sad when you have to watch a replay when you're 20 feet away from something. But then again, I'm also going to be an MMA judge, so that's going to be fantastic.
By the way, I need to mention as I'm tweeting out that we're talking about KO of the year that Eric, you need to change the spelling of your last name because I just spelled what you know phonetically and it didn't come up as you. So you're going to need to go ahead and change that, player.
Fontanez.
Well, there a lot of people are really angry right now that we're not calling this Silver Belfort. And I love that knockout. I love that front kick knockout over Belfort and the replay we saw at UFC 129 with Couture and Machida. But again, I got to put it in the context of how it happened. It's not just the stylistic knockout, because if it's that, man, I'd go for Magdessi and Watson over that, because that spinning back fist was nasty, dude. And Kyle, dude, I can't lie, man. Kyle Watson's my boy, our former Ultimate Fighter radio correspondent, but he got put down hard. It was like old Yeller, man. He got put down. I mean, it was nasty.
So, like a dog.
Yeah, if it was just based on style points, that one ranks pretty high up there, along with the Silva Belfort and the Machida Couture. But just in the context, man, I thought the fight was over. Congo's getting his ass kicked, and then he just comes back with one shot, and Barry goes down like a tie hooker. I mean, it was bad.
Now, answer me this. If this happened a couple of years ago and you compare that to the Drago-Scott Smith fight, which one wins then?
The Scott Smith knockout, to me, is still one of my favorite fights of all time. That was one of the craziest knockouts ever, because dude was done, and then for him to pop up like a jack-in-the-box and knock dude out, that was crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, I agree. So, I agree.
You know?
I think for the record, just to clear up, I'm pretty sure Kyle Watson's beard ended up in Manitoba.
But don't forget the once unbeatable Warren getting knocked out in Bellator.
Warren, Alexis Vila. Yeah, that's right.
That was a big one too.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I don't know if this is out there, but Joe Warren has been training at King's MMA with Rafael Cordeiro. I randomly showed up at the gym one day for pro practice, and Joe Warren is there getting it done with Jake Ellenberger.
That's interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Why does
Joe Warren need training, though? He's already the baddest man on the planet, according to him.
Well, maybe he wanted to be the baddest man in Brazil and learn Portuguese through Rafael Cordeiro.
Okay, just curious. He's already the baddest man. So we're split on KO of the year, but I think all of them are good candidates, even though two of the people on this panel are wrong.
Very possible.
But I'll give him credit. That was good. I like the context of Fedor Henderson especially, and then I like Eric pulling out the random Bellator. Where's some love for Douglas Lima knocking out Ben Saunders too, dude, if you're throwing out some Bellator knockouts?
True.
Who? I just do UFC.
Okay. Yeah, I train UFC. Yeah, exactly. So, me too. All right. So knockout of the year, submission of the year. There's a lot of candidates here as well, and this is another category where I got a lot of people, because I put it out on Twitter, and my first response was everyone's going to say Frank Mir and Nogueira. Everybody's going to say that, because that was one of the nastiest submissions of the year. But in all honesty, the one I got the most of anybody on Twitter was the Korean Zombie pulling off the Twister, which was one of the craziest submissions. I also got Vinny Magalhaes pulling off the Goga Plata in M1, which is good, although I think Vinny Magalhaes has started like a Twitter army of people like vote for him and try to get him in the UFC. I follow you, Vinny. I've had you on the show. I love you. Stop retweeting every single person that tweets at the UFC and Dana White to get you into the UFC. I love you, buddy. You deserve to be back, but stop, okay? Stop.
We got the point.
They already tweet. If they're tweeting to Dana White, he sees them. You don't need to retweet for the rest of us to see them, is my point. I have no influence. I can tell Dana White 10 times on Sunday to sign you, and guess what he's going to do? I don't care about your opinion, Damon Martin. That's exactly what he's going to say.
Then he'll say, where's Eric Fontanez? Why isn't he here?
Yeah, exactly. He'll say, I miss his smooth goatee. His well-coiffed goatee is what he's going to say to me.
And I'm going to say, tell Pisha to get Fontanez out of those videos. They're so much more watchable without your face in
them. Oh, man.
They're so much more sexy with me in them. Because you got my stylish Latin flavor coming up in the frame of the video, and you're like, damn, this fool knows how to put it down.
Caliente.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez. I think this show's going to end early because the egos are blowing up out of control right now. So, anyways.
I am the best thing ever.
Oh.
Recognize, son.
Oh, man, I tell you. If you guys aren't careful, I'm going to have Lesnar shoot you and not tag you, okay?
Oh.
And then leave our carcass in the woods.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to leave it in the woods, all right? So what's going to happen to you. All right, so submission of the year. I'm going to kick things off with Mr. Dwayne Finley over there. What is your vote for submission of the year?
I'm going to probably – this is probably going to be draw some scorn, but I'm going with the scarecrow on this one, Pablo Garza and Yves Dupuis at 129. I thought that it came out of nowhere. It's a crazy sub, and it just had all the right elements. I mean, I know the Korean zombie twister is a first and all that good stuff, but I'm just a sucker for a flying triangle, I suppose. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Pablo on this one.
The scarecrow.
Yeah, going scarecrow on it, man. The setup was perfect. It just snapped it off. So that's my favorite of the year for sure.
There you go. Eric, what about you? What do you got for submission of the year?
How do you not pick the Korean zombie? I mean, serious? It looked like he was about to twist that dude in half. And he did twist the dude in half. I mean, who does that kind of thing except people named Korean zombie? Well, like this some sort of zombie apocalypse and they're twisting you in half so they could eat your insides and whatnot. Damn, son. Twister.
Well, Eddie Bravo does it. He's another one that does it. So
yeah, but he's not fighting in the UFC.
No.
He doesn't train UFC.
No, he trains crackhead guard and whatever crazy ass stuff Joe Rogan calls it.
Yeah. Joe Rogan.
All right, Travis, so we're split down the middle right now. Where are you going?
I'm so distracted. I'm looking at a picture of the Gilbert Melendez Masvidal press conference with good old Eric there interviewing Gilbert. Gilbert's all punched up. His face is all swollen. And Eric's face looks the same. It's so strange. It's off his Twitter. It's very strange. Anyway, listen, I got to go with the thing that most recently happened, not because I would say all the way up until about 2 weeks ago, it's definitely Korean Zombie. I was there in Seattle for it. I saw it. The crowd blew up. It was ridiculous. But I will say that I have to go with Mir over Big Nog, mainly because I will definitely get the Korean Zombie, the style points, the slickest submission of the year. Super cool for the people that are on the underground, you know, retweeting things on Twitter and all that. That's great. But when you're looking at something like, the people who have been in the sport for many years, you're looking at a guy who had never been submitted. You're looking at a guy who only recently had ever been stopped by the same exact guy. You have to go with the Mir submission. It was devastating. It was an arm break. It was everything that a true submission that will go down in history will be. It's not something people are going to forget. Of course, the Twister was amazing. It was great. But in the overall scheme of things, doesn't matter. It's a great submission that's been done before, but to break Nogueira, to make him tap and break his arm, amazing.
Yeah, that's, it was one of those things where it's like, I also, and I mentioned it before, that I got to throw out the Vinny Magalhaes pulling off the Goga Plata, which was pretty crazy, because you don't see that every day in high level, MMA. And we've seen, Brad Imes pulled off a Goga Plata, for Christ's sake, so it's not like anybody couldn't do it, but I think that, you've got to put it in context of how it happened and where it happened. And I have a hard time denying Mir Nogueira. I mean, I was there. And I'll tell you what, I was in the back. Here's how it goes. I was in the back because I stay in the media room. I'm doing interviews in the back. And it's me and I'm trying to think of some of the guys from Heavier back there, Ariel and Mike Straka. So there's about 10 or 12 of us back there watching the fights on the big screens in the back. And when Mir gets dropped, everybody's like, oh, and so we see Mir get dropped, he goes down, and then when he gets to Kimura and they start rolling, and then when he gets back on top, Mir gets back on top and twists it, and you see the snap, and this is all in live before they did, the 88 replays. Everybody in the room literally was like, oh, I mean, it was like a simultaneous, like, I wish I had video of all of us just reacting to that. So it's kind of like one of those things where it's like in the context of it, of how it happened. And again, you got to take into context of who it was. I mean, Nogueira is what Dana White said, maybe the greatest heavyweight submission fighter we've ever seen. And for him to get submitted, I don't really care. And the great thing about it, here's the other thing I got to throw out about to put in context the submission. It's not like Mir fired back and hurt him. You know what I mean? Mir was hurt, somehow grabbed a hold of an arm. Nogueira's still fresh. Nogueira never got punched. He never got rattled. It wasn't like he got hit and fell down and he somehow got caught in the rear naked choke. He was completely lucid, completely conscious, and then he just got caught in the submission. So to me, there's no, there's none of this talk about, well, he got clipped first and then he got finished or any of that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you can take away some submissions and say, well, the guy was hurt first, then he got finished. No, Nogueira's the one that hurt Mir, and somehow Mir, in his whatever state of mind, whatever whatever it was, I don't know, somehow pulled out the fact that, oh, I'm going to get a Kimura on the greatest heavyweight submission fighter ever, and I'm going to break his arm. I have a hard time looking past that, even for as great as the Korean Zombie submission was, which was a phenomenal submission, and I know Joe Rogan probably had an orgasm there sitting cage side. I still got to go with Mir Nogueira. Again, it's the context of how it happened. I don't see how you can't be amazed by that moment.
Well, you make a strong point, Damon, but not too many people can pull off a submission that's named after a 1996 film starring Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton, word.
Yeah, see, Twister.
Game over, man. Game over.
Little aliens thrown in there. I like it. I like it. So.
You know how I roll.
It's game over, man. Game over. I like it. I like
it. Bill Paxton may be the greatest actor of this or any generation recognized.
Yeah, exactly. I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Well, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger, but yeah, close to Bill Paxton.
No, the original Terminator, where Bill Paxton is the punk who he steals his clothes from.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking Terminator 2 when he's talking to the biker guy.
Yeah, when he says, I need your clothes, your boots. Whichever one I know he says, I need your clothes. I think it's the second one with the boots and the motorcycle. But yeah, Bill Paxton is the punk in the first Terminator that Schwarzenegger kills and takes his clothes.
MMAWeeklyMovieTrivia.com.
Yes, exactly. And I'm now looking at this picture of Eric and Gilbert Melendez. And I'm thoroughly poor Gilbert's all beat up, and Eric's smiling and laughing at him, dude. What's up with that? Why are you laughing at Gilbert, man? He just went through a fight.
I don't know. I'm a jerk,
dude. man.
I don't know. I don't know if you saw the interview I did with him, but I straight up told him, "You took some punishment in this fight." What was it like walking into those jabs?
Just so mean.
I know. I'm a horrible person. Dude. I should be fired. I should be fired from MMA Weekly.
After Gilbert walked away, as Gilbert was walking away, Eric sacked him. He punched him right in the nuts and said, "Ha ha, got you."
You got punched again.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty stuff. The fact that you referenced Twister, though, the Helen Hunt, Philip Seymour Hoffman, let's throw that in, the fact that he was in that movie as well, with the Van Halen soundtrack.
He wasn't.
That's pretty awesome. So, yeah, that was...
So does he win?
Pepper. Oh, that's Twista.
Yeah, Twista. Yeah, that's a different guy. Yeah, I don't know, man. You busted out the Twister reference. That might just steal the award right there, because you busted out the Helen Hunt, Bill Paxton classic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the way you work. I like the way you work. Nice.
So, thank you, sir.
All right, before we get to Fighter of the Year, which I have a feeling that's going to be an easier category to judge, although someone could argue with me. I mean, they'd be wrong, but they could argue with me.
Seth Petroselli.
No, I didn't say Transsexual of the Year. No, I'm joking. So. I'm joking. I like Seth. Seth's a good guy.
This thing went off the rails minutes ago.
A Twister flew through, and we're flying around with cows and stuff. It's anarchy, cats and dogs living together.
It's game over, man.
Yeah, it's game over, man. Game over.
All right. The dogs are blaring. Let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. No one got my cats and dogs reference? Somebody? Come on.
Ghostbusters, homie.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay, it's mayhem, it's anarchy, cats and dogs living together. Okay, thank you. Okay.
And then Travis McPherson. Boom, boom, boom.
Exactly. Yes,
it's true. You damn right.
is it true what you said? Yes, it's true, Your Honor. This man has no dick. So.
Whoa. Yeah.
Hey-o. Hey-o. All right. So, fight of the year. This is the one that I have a feeling we're going to get into an argument about, because there are a lot of great candidates. A lot of them happened in the last couple months. You got Henderson Shogun. You got Chandler and Alvarez. You got Henderson Guida. You got Maynard and Edgar. You got lots of great fights. I'm going to throw it to Travis first. What do you got for fight of the year? Tell me, what is the best fight of 2011?
Damn, man, you know, there was a lot of great fights, and I hate to even pretend that one was so much better than the others. And I know that really anyone who picks any fight is going to get garbage from not only each other, but from anyone who listens to the show and decides to email. And if you want to email me, feel free, Damon Martin at MMAweekly.com.
Thanks, man.
You can tweet me at Eric_Fontanez on Twitter. So, you know, getting to the fight of the year, I think has to do with not just if it's a close fight, but also if it tells a story. I mean, back in my pro wrestling days when I used to really love to watch pro wrestling, they always said that, you know, a really great match was when a story was told. And there's one fight that really kind of sticks out that a story seemed to be told throughout the entire fight. And it may be easy to pick, but I really think Hendo and Shogun is that fight. Now, having said that, up until that point, I hadn't really been all that impressed with Shogun. I've said this several times on the show. I think in his UFC career, he's been fairly overrated, but he showed a lot of heart. And actually, out of the two other fights that I have been minorly impressed with him, this one actually maybe impressed me the most, mainly because he didn't give up. He kept going. He showed a lot of heart. And it was, you know, it could have gone either way, depending on who was judging that particular night. So, you know, with just the drama, the amazing amount of guts that were shown, it was just a fantastic fight. There was a lot of great fights, but that's the one I'm going to pick.
All right, Eric, what do you got?
I'm going to go ahead and agree with my man Travis this one.
Agreeing.
I am agreeing with him. So don't worry, man. I'm not going to throw rotten fruit at you the next time I see you. You're good.
Word.
I was there at UFC 139 for Shogun Henderson, and Travis is right. Anything that has a story and delivers like that, it, you know, stands out above the rest. You have Shogun and Henderson, both of whom fought in Pride and could have fought years ago but didn't. The match never materialized until they got to this point in the UFC. Dan Henderson's making his return to the UFC. Shogun is coming off a win over Forrest Griffin. There's a lot of momentum going into the fight. And then they do that five-round war. And mind you, in person, this is the greatest thing I ever seen. The greatest fight I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of fights, and this was by far just craziness. In the third round, Henderson rocked Shogun and thought he had the fight won, but then in the fourth and fifth round, Shogun took over and was on top of him for all of the fifth, and everybody's like, oh my god, which way is it going to go? Somebody scored 10-8 somewhere, and that was just intense. And then following the fight, I'm going to go ahead and give myself a little plug here. I wrote a story after the fight about Dan Henderson's cornerman, and he was talking about the fight and saying, yeah, go ahead and give Shogun the 10-8 round in the fifth, just as long as you give us the 10-8 round in the third. And you can make an argument for that. Dan Henderson probably got a 10-8 round in the third. You could argue that. And when I wrote the story and put it out, Dan Henderson is kind enough to respond to MMAweekly.com via Twitter and say, it's vanilla. And me, being the type of guy that I am, I'm just like, what, it tastes like ice cream? What the hell does that mean? So I tweeted Dan. I'm like, what do you mean vanilla? And he gets back to me and says that the story wasn't nearly as exciting as the headline. And I just cried. I cried myself to sleep that night. And I blame Ken Pishna. I blame Ken Pishna because I did not write that headline. He wrote the headline. And I wrote the story. And it completely threw Dan the Henderson off, and I was upset, and he was upset, and I cried. And I'm sure Dan Henderson cried too, but we won't mention that. Whoops, I just did.
Wow. Just vengeful right there. Vengeful vanilla talk over here.
Let it flow, brother.
Yeah. All right, Dwayne, are you going in a different direction? Are you going to make it 3-for-3?
Man, you know, this is the craziest part about it is the I'm going to end up agreeing with him, I think. I'm really torn on this, but on the storyline aspect, I want to point this out with the second Edgar and Maynard fight that happened, you know, on the first of the year. You know, that fight withheld pretty much almost the entire year, as the fight of the year until, you know, the November card happened. But importance wise in the division, you know, BJ Penn was the greatest 155 pounder. You know, we all recognized him as that, or the majority of us did. And, you know, it was just, he's unbeatable. You know, destroyed Diego Sanchez. Even when Frankie beat him twice, you know, it's still, there still didn't seem to be a lot of validation there for Edgar being the champion because, you know, Penn's got such a, enormous persona and legacy in the sport. So the second Maynard-Edgar fight really kind of helped define that the face of that 155 division, which is going to be a beast, you know, this, you know, the end of this year, all 2012. I mean, that's one of the most stacked divisions in the sport. So that was my candidate all the way up through. And then after I saw the Alvarez Chandler fight, I'm like, hey, that's fight of the year. And then to have my opinion changed 15 minutes later by the Shogun Henderson fight was a really strange thing, because I mean, I think it points out how special it was. I mean, for Bellator, that Chandler Alvarez fight was fantastic. I mean, it's a good story there too, but I just don't think you could deny the how great a fight the Henderson Shogun thing, you know, was for diehards, new fans, whatever. It was a great fight. Both men were tested, both men were down, and it was a beautiful thing to watch. I had a draw on the Finley scorecards, but we all know that those are rigged and sponsored by other fighters, so it invalidates it there. But no, the Henderson Shogun fight was awesome. But I really had a pull for Edgar Maynard too on the January 1st card.
Yeah, well, I'd like to argue this. I'd like to argue that the winner of this this debate should be, in my opinion, the most technically sound fight, and the fight that I found most exciting in a technical format, in my opinion, was Ben Henderson Clay Guida. That fight was so good. Yes. They went everywhere in that fight. I mean, there was stand up, there were takedowns, there were submissions, there were some crazy escapes. I mean, yeah, very typical Ben Henderson fight. The guy puts himself in bad positions, gets out, and then does crazy stuff. We saw everything in that fight. I think we saw more diversity in that fight. And for you curious, diversity is an old Finnish ship.
Old wooden ship.
Yes, that's right. I'm sorry, an old wooden ship. Fontanez will get that one. But
I believe it's named diversity.
Exactly. So, but I think there was more diversity shown in that particular fight than any other fight, and I'd love to vote for that one. Chandler Alvarez, man, was so good. I mean, and it's so crazy. It's exactly what Dwayne said. I was sitting at my computer watching Bellator because I didn't have to cover the Spike fights that night. Ken Pishner was writing them up. So I had Spike on picture in picture, but I had it shrunk down because the Bader fight, it ended so quickly that it was over. So I just kind of had it shrunk down. I'm watching the Chandler Alvarez fight, and I'm like, okay, I just want to see how this fight goes before the UFC pay-per-view starts. And that fight starts, and literally when he drops Alvarez early, and I'm talking in the first 30 seconds of the fight, I literally jumped out of my chair. My chair goes flying back towards my closet, and I'm like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. And I'm like screaming at the TV, just crazy, because at the time, I didn't know I was going to write this up. I thought I was going to write it up later in the night, you know, rewatch it on replay. And so I was just watching the fight to enjoy it. And I mean, it was so insane. And then literally 2 hours later, for that freaking Henderson Shogun fight to happen, I mean, it's the most insane night. I mean, maybe the greatest night in MMA history, if you really want to put it in context. We had two of the best fights ever. Two of the best fights ever take place on the same night. That just doesn't happen. So I'd love to argue. I love Ben Henderson and Clay Guida. I love Michael Chandler and Eddie Alvarez. But, Shogun Henderson was so freaking good. I mean, there were so many great moments in that fight. Shogun was like the Brazilian zombie. He would not go down. I mean, seriously, he was like a Republican standing up for his beliefs. He was just not getting – he was not getting taken down. And it was just crazy. So I got to agree. I got to make it 4-for-4 and say Shogun Henderson. But, man, I wish there was a way to, like, split it up and give part of – you know, give at least a little – like, give a scoop of ice cream to Henderson and Guida, and a scoop of ice cream to Chandler and Alvarez, because those were such good fights.
I agree. And you know what's funny about that? I really thought for a minute you were going to say Bisping and Mayhem. But that's okay. Because you picked the right fight.
No, Bisping Mayhem was the epic ass kicking of the year. So
least underwhelming fight of the year, right?
Yeah, that was the least underwhelming performance ever. Mayhem, for all his talk and everything. Yeah, that was the least underwhelming performance ever, I think. Yeah. So anyway.
I think the entrance was good. He was clapping the entire time. It was playing trance music.
I think the blonde hair dye sucked out all his energy for the fight. I think that's what happened. It sucked away his cardio.
Hey, but also, if we're gonna, you know, if you're gonna throw the Mayhem Bisping out there, the biggest build up to quickest letdown has to be Korean Zombie and Mark Hominick.
Yeah, for sure.
40. I mean, that was, you know, Hominick's got all this, you know, got the whole, you know, everything he's coming into the fight with, the Toronto crowd's going crazy. Seven seconds later, it's done. You know, like
Don't forget the MMA math, which now means Korean Zombie can beat the crap out of Jose Aldo.
Yeah, I I saw that. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Yeah, there's lots of disappointing endings this year. You know, the poor guy who got his nuts sent up into his throat in Bellator, and you know, there were some other crazy endings this year. But yeah, I would agree. The most build up to the least to the biggest letdown, I would say. You know, Mayhem Bisping with a quick follow up to a Korean Zombie Mark Hominick. So I would not disagree with that. And then the final category, and this is honestly, I think it's going to be the shortest conversation because I have a hard time believing anyone's going to go against the guy who seems to be the unanimous vote. But Fighter of the Year, I'm just going to say it, man. How is it not John Jones? I mean, the guy, three title fights, three title wins, finishes three top five guys in a year, throw in a fourth being Ryan Bader, who I still believe is a top 10 fighter. I mean, I love Donald Cerrone. Somebody said Donald Cerrone is maybe another guy. I mean, he's about to go for potentially his fifth victory in 2011. If he beats Nate Diaz, I think he gets a good honorable mention. But, and I'll throw it to you first, Dwayne. I mean, I can't see anybody arguing against John Jones.
No, it'd be really hard to do. I think the only other guy you could even consider, or at least in my mind, was Dan Henderson. Dan Henderson had a great year. You know, he had the Fedor win, Feijão win, Shogun. You know, all that happened in 2011. So hats off to him. But you know, I really didn't think about this until you actually asked it at the post fight press conference about the greatest year ever for mixed martial arts, and it just didn't really dawn on me until you asked that question, and I got thinking about it, and it's. Yeah, you know, I mean, Johnny Bones Jones did work this year, and the caliber of opponent who he beat was fantastic. So I think when just using that as a measuring stick, there's nobody else that can really come close. I mean, Cerrone's going for what five here against Nate Diaz, but even still, even if he beats Diaz in fantastic, epic fashion, he still didn't do what John Bones Jones did in in 2011. So I think you got to give it to Johnny on this one.
Eric, what about you?
Oh, John Jones, man. John Jones. He's so good, it hurts. He's so good, it hurts my honey.
I mean, this fool, God, he's walked through three straight former light heavyweight champions. And, you know, the light heavyweight division makes an argument for being, like, the toughest division in the UFC. But he walked through Shogun, Quentin Jackson, and then did a walk-off submission. I don't think I've ever seen a walk-off submission in mixed martial arts against Lyoto Machida. I mean, he had the dude, and Machida looked like he was fighting it. Then all of a sudden, ref comes in, splits it up. John Jones like, okay, I'm just going to walk away. And next thing you know, Machida's just flopping down onto the floor, crossed eyes and everything. It's just, who else does that? Who else has done that? Who else has done that? And then before he even did that, he took out a prospect in Ryan Bader. At the time, Ryan Bader was, being marketed as, possibly one of the next great things with Jones. And Jones just comes in and puts him to school. This dude is just it just hurts to think of.
Yeah, Travis, I'm assuming it's pretty much unanimous here.
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard to vote against Anderson Silva. But when you look at, because John is doing what Anderson was doing early in his UFC career, and that's putting people away and making it look like no one's even close to him. And every once in a while, we see that with Anderson, periodically. And we did see it a little bit this year, actually, if you think about it. I mean, not only the Vitor Belfort, the Yushin Okami fight really opened a lot of eyes. For anyone who knows and really watched Yushin, it is not easy to make him look so bad. So it actually is maybe not as much of a walk away as we make it sound. I think Anderson is still right there. But it is kind of difficult to hate on John this year. He's been fantastic. He finishes all his fights now. It's funny that one of the few people that he hasn't finished in the UFC is Stefan Bonner, and at this point, I think he probably would. Quite frankly, it's very hard to go against John. And I still, would like to see the John and Anderson fight that I know we're probably not going to see because of whatever reasons. Quite frankly, that's the fight of the decade going out of this year. John, hats off, man. Not only did you win the title, and here's the thing for me. Again, two of those three guys that he beat, I wasn't overly impressed with going into those fights anyway. Shogun, I've already talked about Shogun, and Lyoto has the same record as Tito Ortiz over his last four fights. So, and I didn't think he deserved a title shot to begin with. But the simple fact is he made all of them look bad. The one that really impressed me with John was Rampage, who hasn't been stopped in, what is it, almost 10 years or something. That's the one that really, I think, solidified
it for the year. He subbed him. Yeah. He made him give up. Nobody makes Rampage give up. He hasn't given up since he fought Shogun when he was getting kicked on the ground because of a broken rib. But John Jones came in and put his hands on this dude and just wrapped his arms around his neck, and Rampage was just looking for a way out. That's just remarkable.
Let me ask you guys this with the Jones thing. This is the thing that gets me about it is I've never been in a place where I just don't know what level of the atmosphere a fighter's at. With Silva, it's kind of the same thing as Travis said earlier in his career. You're like, wow, this guy's, you know, who can touch this guy? But with Jones, I think that fight, especially one against Machida, I mean, Rampage as well. But after the Machida fight, I think it casts so much doubt on whoever else is in 205. Like, their ability to even come close and compete with them. I mean, that fight really sent Jones, heads and shoulders above everybody else. And there was talk before the fight with, Rashad Evans, Rashad's got his number, blah, blah, blah. After the Machida fight, everybody just kind of like, oh, that's Jones. this is Jones' world. So
the other thing I got to throw out there, of course, is, and again, you see a lot of this when you're at the shows, and we all kind of talked about this on our show today, but I was lucky enough to be at Jones' fight with Shogun, and I was also at his fight with Machida. And the thing that just impresses me most about this kid is this almost like an assassin's look he carries. He's always so calm, so composed. He never looks nervous. He never looks antsy. He never looks angry. I mean, it just seems like he literally drains all of the emotion out of his body right before he walks in the octagon and turns into the Terminator. And it really is a masterful performance. And you know, you compare him to Anderson Silva. I mean, Anderson Silva is still the number one guy in our sport. I mean, I think, you know, when you've gone on the run he's gone on over the years and the guys he's finished with, you know, and it's so funny. We're talking about a guy in Anderson Silva who finished Vitor Belfort and Yushin Okami, two of the top five middleweights in the world, finished them. I mean, put them away, knocked out both of them, and we're not even mentioning him because of what John Jones did this year. That's crazy. I mean, that's just insane that Anderson Silva did what he did, because you got to remember, the two fights he had this year were both impressive knockout victories over two top five guys, but it just can't touch what John Jones was able to do at 205 pounds. Four fights, four wins, four stoppages.
Four finishes.
Four finishes, three title fights, and three former champions putting them all away, dude. That doesn't happen.
And a partridge in a pear tree. I had to.
Exactly. Exactly. Dude, that's insane. So, yeah, John Jones is the runaway choice. I love Donald Cerrone. I love Anderson Silva. I love all the other guys. But if you say anything other than John Jones, flat out, you're wrong.
Wrong.
You wrong, Ronda. You wrong.
I'd like to see you try to tell Ronda Rousey that. You wrong, Ronda.
I'll tell her that. By the way, Ronda.
About with Ronda, I have to like her because she looks exactly like one of my favorite actresses, maybe of all time, because I go back to the Titanic days, back when I had a crush on Julia Stiles. So Ronda gets my female fight of the year just because she looks like Julia.
I can't like Julia Stiles because she ruined the last season of Dexter, so she immediately gets disqualified because she sucked the life out of a good season of Dexter. But Ronda Rousey's cool, though. I mean, she seems cool. So
I think at this point it's safe to say that Julia Stiles looks like Ronda Rousey, not the other way around.
Oh yeah, true story.
And if we're talking about the best of 2012, I'm just going to throw this out there right now. Best of 2012, you can talk to me about the Fox deal. You can talk to me about, you know, Rashad and John Jones, all these other things. Right now, what I'm talking about is the best of 2012: Brittany Palmer and Playboy. I'm just throwing that out there right now.
Snap.
Best of 2012, baby.
Breaking news, Damon Martin reveals his crush on MMA Weekly Radio.
There you go.
I love how you guys are denying this right now, that you're not going to be going out and buying that issue. Come on now. Stop.
My wife's in the other room, brother. I don't even know what Playboy is. What are you talking about?
Hey, sure.
He's typing it in right now since he can't technically say it over the air. So
I'm going to go ahead and buy that issue. If by downloading the pictures means buying the issue, yes.
It does. It does constitute buying.
I love it. Well, this was a blast, man. It was a lot of fun. Appreciate you guys taking the time. I'm going to go around the horn here so you guys can give out your plugs where people can find you at. I'll start with Mr. Voltron himself, Dwayne Finley, my Road Warrior partner. We'll be back on the road twice in January. We got Nashville and Chicago coming up, brother. So enjoy Christmas, because you know what? I'm going to depress everybody right now. After Christmas, 6 straight weeks of MMA, baby.
Wow. Yeah, I was looking at the calendar, and it just it's just the whackness in a good way, I suppose. You know, my kids, I'm just writing them letters, telling them I love them. You know, I'll see you next year. Hopefully, Dana and the crew slows down a little bit. But yeah, it's gonna be a crazy 2012. And as we kind of touched on earlier, you know, that's this thing that was kind of prefaced in the last part of this year is only gonna get crazier and crazier and crazier. And you know, it's exciting for us who work, you know, in this sport. So if your listeners want to check out my stuff, you can find me at heavy.com, Heavy MMA, or if you want to follow me on Twitter, that's at Dwayne Heavy MMA. Check it out.
Absolutely. Mr. Fontanez?
Yes, sir. I am the Eric Fontanez. You may find me on Twitter at @ERIK_FONTANEZ. You can also find me at themmaweekly.com with my cohorts Damon Martin, Cam Pishner, Travis McPherson, Jeff Kane, and the whole crew putting it down in the MMA internet world. Yeah, word.
I don't know how you can top that, Travis. Top it, buddy. Come on.
I don't know if I can, man. Let me pull out my hand. You can't see me and do the spinner Rooney up in this mug. Let me see if I can get it out.
Rooney. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's a spinner Rooney you said there. Teddy told me that joke.
Thank you, Eric. Fontinez. Fontinez with an E.
Oh, that's
word. Change it. Change it. I'll be back on Sundays again coming up in the new year, because there's just too much to talk about. Too many things going on in the world of MMA. You can follow me on Twitter, MMA Weekly Radio. That's how we roll. Damon doing it for another year worth of fights. More fights this year than ever. And I'm really excited. So definitely check us out there. And Damon, I mean, I'm going to tell you something. Thank you for bringing me on, brother. I appreciate it.
I got to throw this out there as we close out the show. This is my sad, sappy moment of the year. In 2011, we added Travis's show as part of the MMA Weekly family. I've been doing MMA Weekly Radio for the past, it's going on 6 years now since Ryan Bennett passed away. And to add another quality show, just a fantastic show like Travis's to be our weekend show, man. Couldn't be happier. It was an honor. It's funny. I still remember the day he contacted me, and immediately I was like, no, you're done. You're on. Come on, you're done. You're on board. You're part of the family. Come on.
So there was no negotiation at all.
There was no negotiation. He's like, I'm thinking about branching out. Has MMA Weekly ever thought about adding another show? I'm like, you're hired. You're done. Come on board. So bringing that on, and then, you know, I've had the pleasure of working with Eric this entire year, and Eric, for anyone out there, is one of the best up-and-coming writers out there. He's deserving of any opportunities that are out there. He's well-deserving and a fantastic writer. Anyone that says different can come talk to me at Damon Martin or DamonMartinMMAWeekly.com. So if you don't believe Eric's good, come talk to me. I'll tell you how good you're not. And then also a big shout out to my boy Dwayne Finley. Had the pleasure of meeting him for the first time this year in 2011, and over the past few months, Dwayne has become one of my best friends and one of the people I travel on the road with the most. And me and Dwayne are road warriors, and we have conquered the sport of MMA on the road together. Dwayne, that is for real.
Seen a million faces, and we've rocked them all, sir.
Exactly. So as we close 2011, I got to say thank you to all you guys for all the work you put in and all the stuff, and it's great to be able to call you guys colleagues and friends. Great show, and enjoy your holiday season, and it doesn't slow down, though, because guess what? Next week, UFC 141, we're right back at it. All right, there we go.
All right.
Want to say a big thank you once again to Eric Fontanez, Travis McPherson, and Dwayne Finley for being on the show. Definitely appreciate all those guys. We are out of here for the rest of this week. Enjoy your holiday. We will be back next week with UFC 141 coverage. A ton of guests from the show. Hopefully Jeff Kane will be back as well. So make sure you tune in for all of that next week. It's going to be a great week of shows as we get ready to preview and get ready for UFC 141 out in Las Vegas. I'll be honest, I don't celebrate Christmas, but I will say if you need one Christmas song, I will leave you with this Christmas song because it's the only one you need from the classic Die Hard. Here's Run DMC, Christmas and Hollis. Enjoy your holidays. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks for tuning in to MMA Weekly Radio.